Hey, what's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going? This is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his bro, Will Brueggemann.
Today on the show, we're going to be focusing on one of the most legendary companies in all of video game music. This is Capcom.
Yeah, Capcom really is one of the most prolific third-party development teams in the history of gaming. They've sort of been there since way back when on the NES, and they're still present now, which is kind of cool if you think about it, which means that there's a long history of game music to be really impressed with here on this episode. It's really quite staggering.
Yeah, as far as game music goes, Capcom is definitely one of the most legendary companies. They formed in 1983, and ever since then, they've been a pretty consistent powerhouse of video games and video game music.
Yeah, I mean, even if you just take some of the individual series alone, like Mega Man, Street Fighter, like some of the best game music of all time, really. And what's really cool about this episode that we're doing today is we're actually going to be very, very light on the Mega Man and Street Fighter side of things.
Right.
We're not going to be doing too much from either of those series, and that's just to maybe showcase some of the lesser-known Capcom music.
Absolutely.
And to see how that style and how the composers that worked on those franchises really affected not only game music, but in particular at Capcom, how it affected the way that they approach scoring game music.
Absolutely, and we have played a lot of Mega Man and Street Fighter music in the past, and we even had that Mega Man episode, and in the future we probably will have a Mega Man Part 2, so we will have a lot more Mega Man in the future. So fear not. What you heard playing in with was a track from Final Fight 3 that was called For Metro City. Cool, we're going to get things started off here with a track for the NES. This is Darkwing Duck, and we're going to play a track called Bushroots Forest. And this soundtrack was composed by one and only Bun Bun, also known as Yasuaki Fujita. Let's take a listen to Bushroots Forest. Awesome. You're listening to Bushroots Forest from Darkwing Duck for the NES, composed by Bun Bun. It's nice to get Bun Bun back on the podcast. One of our favorites from our Mega Man episodes so long ago.
Right. One thing that's so cool about this game and the music, to me, it's actually kind of reminiscent of DuckTales, which is perhaps my favorite 8-bit soundtrack. Mm-hmm. That's also a Capcom game. But again, we've played so much music from DuckTales, so we're going to, again, shy away from that soundtrack on this episode. But what's cool is, even spiritually, Darkwing Duck sort of is the successor to DuckTales. And I think musically, you're getting some of that playfulness, and you get a little bit of those sort of swung rhythms, which is
lots
nice.
Lots of jazz influence. No, that's a very good point. There were a few games for the NES that Capcom made that were kind of similar in the vein of DuckTales, this being one of them. Also, Tailspin was another one. And there was a sequel to DuckTales, DuckTales 2.
Right.
We haven't played any music from that. Maybe at some point we'll try it. I'm not familiar with the music of that one.
Yeah, I've never really played that game. I remember checking out the soundtrack about a year ago. I remember being curious about it. I was doing research for one of our show and tells, and I looked into it, and I don't recall it being anything too memorable.
Are you guys excited about the news of the new DuckTales remastered
that's coming out? I'm very, very excited about that. I think that's interesting. I'm curious to see how they're going to remix the old themes and if they'll add new like parts or instruments. Very curious about that, because that's definitely an old NES classic, that game.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that as well. Cool, well let's move on to a game called Magic Sword, and this came out for the Super Nintendo, and this was composed by Manami Matsume, and she is one of the most legendary composers at Capcom, was there from the early days. She composed the very first Mega Man soundtrack. Let's take a listen to a track called Macabre Funk, composed by Manami Matsume. We'll be right back. Oh man, you gotta love those delayed arpeggios there. It definitely has a lot of Castlevania influence. This is Macabre Funk from the game Magic Sword, composed by the one and only Maname Matsume. This is such a cool find. I'm really glad that we're playing this track.
Yeah, one thing that's so awesome about when you get to the 16-bit era of game music, there are a lot of composers taking the instrument settings and trying to actually represent realistic sounding instruments, not just in the sound of the samples, but for example, like that bass channel, what's really nice, something that's very striking to me, that's not the type of bass part that you'd hear on the NES. It feels like it was played on an actual bass instrument, and I think that's something that's really cool about a lot of 16-bit music. I feel like you start to get a better sense of what the instruments are trying to represent, but also the way in which they're written is a little bit more authentic to those instruments, and that's just something that really struck me a lot about this track, is I feel like very authentic instrumentation, and not necessarily just in the sound or timbre of the instruments, but in sort of what Matsume is having them do.
No, that's a very good point. I mean, I think the sound of the instruments is informing the composition, and I think that's a really big factor of 16-bit era video game music. I'm glad you brought that up, is because the fact that you have those really good sounding samples, you have a realistic sounding organ and bass, like it's clear what the instruments are trying to be, so it makes sense that the parts themselves are going to be a little bit more authentic. Yeah, no, this is just a really cool track. I think what's kind of cool is that this is not kind of classic quintessential Capcom music. It's not, like I said before, it kind of sounds something like Castlevania. So it's kind of cool today on this episode to play some tracks that maybe are a little bit lesser known, but fear not, we definitely have some absolutely classic Capcom music coming up. So we're going to move ahead to definitely a very, very famous and well-loved soundtrack for the SNES. This is Breath of Fire, which is an RPG game, and this soundtrack was composed by Yasuaki Fujita, also known as Bun Bun, Mary Yamaguchi, and Mine Fuji. We're going to take a listen to a really beautiful track called Beginning of the End. Listening to Beginning of the End from Breath of Fire for the SNES, composed by Yasuaki Fujita, Mary Yamaguchi, and Mine Fuji. My gosh, this soundtrack is so impressive. It's definitely one of the most impressive soundtracks as far as how it's, quote, orchestrated. There's a lot of moving colors, and I think one of the cool things about the soundtrack is it's very classical influence, but what I like about it is that you get a very heavy use of the piano throughout the entire soundtrack, and that's something that is really impressive, and it kind of makes it sound slightly more modern, because we know the history of music as far as when the piano was introduced. One thing that's interesting about the timbre of the samples, there's slight pitch problems with the piano and how it's used as far as the rest of the string sounds, but for this particular track, I really think it adds a level of realism that I think is really effective. I know in the past we've talked about tracks like Alan and Cyril Forever, which is a really good track, but in that particular track, the piano, the intonation of the piano is kind of problematic, but for this one, I think it's just really well orchestrated.
Yeah, two things really jumped out at me at this piece. The first thing is that there are some very interesting rhythmic things happening with that sort of odd, like, piano arpeggiated delay kind of thing. It was very interestingly placed rhythmically, because what was happening around it with the melody and chords definitely felt very slow-paced, but that sort of piano line you gave it almost this rhythmic pulse, which is something that you would normally leave room for the percussion. But it was a really interesting choice to use that piano. Another thing that I noticed is there was a lot of uses of suspensions in this piece. And like Carl said, it's very symbolic of a lot of classical suspensions. But one thing that I think is interesting is you have that sort of B section there. And what's interesting about that is instead of resolving those suspensions that you had in the A section, those suspensions sort of move up and down in sort of a parallel fashion. And
yeah, there's
some very interesting harmonics going on
there.
Nice
chain of suspensions. One thing that I think is probably the most effective thing about this piece is just the melody. Dun, 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 dun. It's really demonic, but it's really beautiful. And the way it's used over those suspensions when the melody note hits a certain suspension, it's so effective. I think this soundtrack, I mean, it's definitely, everyone knows how good the soundtrack is. And this whole series is pretty classic as far as the RPG world is concerned. So it's cool that we got to play another track from Breath of Fire. We're going to move on in time to a track from Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And that Marvel vs. Capcom is a really huge fighting series. This particular game came out, I believe, for the Dreamcast. It's a really cool, nice, jazzy, funky soundtrack. And it was composed by Tetsuya Shibata and Mitsuhiko Takano. We're going to play a track called Swamp Stage. Cool, man. This is a great track. This is Swamp Stage from Marvel vs. Capcom 2, New Age of Heroes, composed by Tetsuya Shibata and Mitsuhiko Takano. This is a really great track. Again, has a great melody. Lots of really interesting rhythmic things happening as far as the rhythms of that melody, how it's kind of over the bar as far as what the rhythms are doing. The samples are nice. They sound good. I think the best are probably the drums and the bass. I think those sound very authentic. I think the rest of them are a little bit more fakey sounding. I think it's kind of goofy, those vocals that come in, those swing your body, like it's I'm not sure exactly why they did those vocals, but yeah. It kind of works. I mean, it's really good arcade music, isn't it?
Something that I'm really intrigued with is nowadays with the rise of virtual instruments, and you see it a lot in game music, because you have one person sort of creating this entire soundscape, I feel like the way that they have to approach writing for the parts is almost the way that an orchestral composer at one time would have to approach like writing for all the different instruments. And this is the type of song where if this were done up with real instruments, you'd probably have the different instrumentalists coming up with, like, the bassist would probably write the bass part, the drummer would come up with the drum mm-hmm. part. But what I think is interesting is now that you have one person at a computer trying to replicate all those sounds, they really have to figure out what makes a bass line sound really funky and catchy, what makes a drum part work, and approaching a little bit more easily consumable music like this, approaching more modern music with that sort of orchestration hat on and that sort of lens of how to write for the different parts. That's something that I'm really intrigued with, and is something that you see a lot in modern times with the rise of, you know, more technology and virtual instruments.
It's an interesting thought, and I really do agree with you in the sense that it doesn't really matter what genre of music you're composing. in a lot of ways, when your approach is this approach, this kind of modern digital approach, it's going to be the same. It doesn't really matter whether you're composing orchestral music or something like this. I think that's a really good point, Will. I think the bottom line is you're trying to make each part fit with the song, you're trying to make it authentic, and you're trying to make each part add to whatever the qualities of the song that is good. I think what's good about this piece is that it's really funky, it's really groovy, it's really rhythmically interesting. So I think every single part is really adding to that effect. Right. I think the bass line is incredibly authentic, incredibly funky. I think if you listen to each section by itself, I think it's very effective. And I think when it all comes together, it's what makes this track so fun to listen to, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. One thing that I've been learning is that, you know, you really look at every single instrument ever created, or even like human voice, or in different genres and different mediums, and you really study what each part has to do to contribute to the product as a whole. And it really is interesting that you can use that same type of thinking for everything, whether you're writing for a cello, whether you're writing for a bass, a trumpet, mm-hmm. a trombone, in whatever context you're coming into it with, you can use that same type of thinking of how to capture authenticity and how to write for something in the most effective and organic way possible.
Absolutely. So without giving anything away, we're just going to let you guys know that in a couple weeks, we're actually going to be coming back to this soundtrack. We have a topic in a couple weeks that is going to be perfectly fitting for another track in the soundtrack. So look forward to that. We're going to move on to a really awesome soundtrack for the NES. This is Gargoyle's Quest 2. And I was absolutely blown away this week when I discovered the soundtrack. We've been familiar with the first Gargoyle's Quest for the Game Boy.
On Game Boy, yeah.
Yeah, so we were definitely a fan of that soundtrack, but I had never heard this one, and this is absolutely phenomenal. It was composed by Yuki Awai, and she was, of course, a very legendary composer at Capcom, did so many great soundtracks, and we have a few soundtracks from hers today that we're going to be playing. But anyway, without further ado, let's take a listen to a track called Desert Siddim. Beyond cool. This is Desert Siddim from the game Gargoyle's Quest 2, composed by Yuki Awai. And one thing that I was so blown away when I discovered this soundtrack is we've talked before, we talked a little bit about it in our Inspirations and Influences episode about how the NES is so perfectly suited for classical music, for three-part Baroque or classical writing, very Bach influenced, and there's a lot of soundtracks that are really authentic. In my opinion, I think the soundtrack might be the most authentically classical soundtrack on the NES. It really blows me away. Track after track just has just perfect chord choices and those really great flourishes and those really nice ornamentations, the really quick. They're so authentic. It's so much fun to listen to this music.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point, Carl. And again, I just want to come back to that point you were making about how the NES is very well suited for classical style writing. And it really is because of those instrument limitations, having a lot of flourishes and very busy moving parts mm-hmm. that really fits classical music well. I think the other thing that's nice is Baroque era and classical music has this sort of timeless quality to it, and it's composed in such a clever, constructed way that it's almost as close as we can get to creating like perfect music. Mm-hmm. And what I think is nice is on the NES, when you have those more pure sound waves, like you have sine waves and square and triangle, it's this very pure sound. So when you mix that with really almost near perfect music construction that you get in like classical music, it's this sort of interesting effect of just this like tonal like purity and rhythmic purity that you really get on the NES, and it's something that's just, I don't know, I'm really attracted to. It's very appealing to me.
Everything about it is pure. Like for the first time, like it's almost more pure than if you were actually to hear this played on a piano. Because there's no human expression. It's just, it's incredibly, everything about it is perfect. I mean, and not saying like in a good sense necessarily, just saying in a factual sense, like it is perfect because it's not being performed. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's incorrect. There's nothing that's slightly off about it at all.
Yeah, and I think classical music is probably the biggest genre of music where having no improvisation, having no alterations as far as the performance is actually probably a good thing. I mean, I guess expression wise, obviously the NES, like there's no expression in detail. You don't have like contrasting dynamics and performance things, but just as far as the notes and rhythms, there's a very appealing purity to it. And that's, I think, something that the composers were probably drawn to as well. That's probably why you see it so much on the NES.
Yeah, it really is a perfect marriage. I mean, when you think about what you can do on the NES, like there's so many different options, and there's a lot of composers that were able to do rock really well, and we're going to get to that later on today. But yeah, classical music really was one of the perfect marriages on the NES. We're going to move on to one of my favorite soundtracks. You guys know this if you're a fan of the podcast, UN Squadron. It's been a while, but we have another track to play for you today. This soundtrack was very important because it featured three absolutely classic Mega Man composers. We have Manami Matsume, who did the first Mega Man. We have Takashi Tateshi, who did Mega Man 2, and this was the only other game that he was credited with, so it definitely holds a special place in my heart. And we also have Mary Yamaguchi on board. We're going to play a track called Ground Carrier. This is Ground Carrier from UN Squadron, composed by the classic Mega Man people. Oh my gosh, I just love everything about this soundtrack. The instruments, it's some of my, I think I've said this before, but it's probably my favorite SNES band that I can think of. It's just the bass, the organ, the drums, the guitar, everything is so well done, and the composition is just so inspirational. It's just, there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of, there's just a lot of inspiration that you hear in all the lines and every single track. One thing on this particular track that I think is so really unique, and they do it on a couple tracks in the soundtrack, is the bass line is doing a Jaws kind of chromatic minor second dun 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 over the chords, but it works somehow. It's really weird. Like, I would never expect that that would actually work, but it works really well.
Yeah, I think this was probably a very good teaching moment to a lot of collaborative soundtracks when you have multiple composers working together to create a unified sound for the soundtrack. It's something that I feel like you don't really start getting in a lot of video game music until much later, is where a lot of games have like that really nice polished unified sound that mm-hmm. they're going for. But what I think is interesting, I think some of the earlier examples come into place with some of these collaborative soundtracks when you have multiple composers working together, because it becomes more apparent when you have two or more people working on a soundtrack of how you blend it together so that each person's track doesn't sound different. And another great example, obviously, like you look at the LucasArts games, those right. three gentlemen, they really had a dialogue of how to create a unified set of musical tools, if you will, to create the emotions for each one of those games. And I think this is a very good teaching moment for a lot of Capcom composers about how to really join together to create an not only an incredibly polished soundtrack, but one
cohesive, very cohesive.
It's
almost like they're all using the same toolbox, but they're achieving different things with those tools. I think one of the things for me that's so mystifying and that's so intriguing is great soundtracks like this that are so cohesive and that I cannot tell a difference from track to track. Like if you told me it was one person, I'd believe it. Part of me, it's like, I don't know whether it was the case where they just worked together really well and had a lot of a dialogue, okay, this is the sound we're going for, or it was the case that these three composers just happened to have very similar sensibilities and it just was a natural process. So that's one of the things that I'm so interested in. And I'm sure it differs from game to game, from different projects, but I just think that's something that is just so cool, and it's kind of a humble thing when you work on a soundtrack as a group. No one really knows, for the most part, no one is going to know which person did which specific track, and it's kind of a nice thing where it's kind of like a it's all about the project, it's all about benefiting the game, and I think that's one of the cool things about sound teams and about collaborative video game music soundtracks.
For sure.
We're gonna move on to a game for the Sega Genesis called Forgotten Worlds, and this was composed by Tomeo Kawamoto, and she was one of the original Capcom composers way back in 84. I mentioned earlier in 83, that was when Capcom formed. And she worked for Capcom ever since 84. She left in the early 90s to actually move to the Taito Corporation. And when you listen to this track, you can definitely hear that she would be very at home in the Taito Corporation as well. We're going to play a track called Staff Roll. Cool, that is Staff Roll from Forgotten Worlds, composed by Tomeo Kawamoto. What a great track. Such a great Staff Roll theme. I love how that actually has an ending.
It's really interesting. That ending really strikes me of a lot of minimalist rhythms, actually. You get like a lot of sort of like polyrhythmic things going on. You have one rhythmic line and something else adds on top of it, and it gives you a completely different sense of where the heart of it is rhythmically. In that ending,
such
how
a great chord
like,
progression, huh?
Yeah, just the ending, it just sort of like blows out almost.
Right.
Like the speakers just melted. And it's like this powerful, like emotional connotation too. Like I imagine like beating this game, like it's kind of like a powerful technique, definitely very advanced for game music and something that I've never ever heard before. So I always think that's interesting when a composer can sort of put their own staple into game music, taking elements from music history and then also sort of infusing it with their own creativity.
And then utilizing the actual sound chip in a really nice way, too.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic use of the Genesis here.
And this didn't come out for only the Genesis. I'm sure this came out for other systems as well. Yeah, and today, a lot of the tracks, a lot of the soundtracks we're playing music from were originally released for the arcade and then were ported to something like the Super Nintendo. So, obviously, Capcom was an absolutely huge arcade game company. So, a lot of these games, like UN Squadron was a great example. That originally came out for the arcade and then was ported to the SNES. We're going to go to the NES and we're going to play a track from a game called Little Nemo the Dream Master. And we both love this soundtrack. This is Junko Tamiya, who's one of our personal favorite composers at Capcom. She did just absolutely great work on a lot of different titles. We're going to play a track called Nightmare King Battle. We'll be right back. awesome. This is Nightmare King Battle, one of the final themes in the game, from Little Nemo the Dream Master, composed by Junko Tamiya. Man, I can't get enough Junko. She's my jam. I just absolutely love everything she does. I know one of our personal favorite soundtracks is Street Fighter 2010. I know that one just blew us away. This track, oh my gosh, there's so much to say about this track. I love the chromatically descending chord progression, how there's one note that's staying the same, but then you have, and it's a square channel that's actually descending. And there's something so powerful about that. There's just a lot of confidence in this track.
Right.
It's a great boss theme, isn't it? This part here is what I'm talking about. It's so driving. It kind of has a sense of like an alarm, like there's like some sort of alarm that's going off. It's definitely a lot of tension in this piece, for sure.
Yeah, one thing I'm always interested in is Junko Tamiya's music really takes game music into this sort of like thrilling, like techno, like fusion mix where it's
right.
Like you get some of those like rock elements that you get with a lot of video game music, but she's using the very specific timbral qualities of the NES to its advantage. Like so many things that are happening, like Carl said, making it sound like an alarm clock and like changing up the rhythms, using the instruments for different rhythmic qualities, is just something that she does really well. And like Carl mentioned, how the square channel descends, you really can't help but notice the different timbres of the instruments on the NES, how they're working in this piece, like in very different rhythmic kind of ways. It's very interesting.
I think one of my favorite things about this piece is the bass line. There's just some really limber bass writing on this piece. And one of my favorite things is the last section before it loops back. There's a really cool like all the notes like have that sliding up at the very end, which makes it feel like I said earlier, like an alarm. Like it's just really well done.
In a sense, I want to say that this is like the most mature NES composition I've heard. Not necessarily that it's like the most impressive sounding, but this is the type of thing where it's like it's perfect. Like this is the perfect presentation of it. Like this would actually be worse on a different sound set. Like she's so utilizing the qualities of the NES's sound chip
to the point where when you're listening to this, you're not thinking about limitations, you're just thinking about the music.
Well, and not even just limitations, but also like the sound of the instruments,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, not even about like not having enough channels, like literally like it's perfect. Everything is there on a musical level, but as far as like the instrument choices, like just really impressive.
All right, we're going to move on to the Super Nintendo, to Mega Man X2. This is the only Mega Man track we're going to play today, so before you cry, just realize that we will have a Mega Man Part 2 episode in the future, so fear not. This is such a cool soundtrack. This is composed by Yuki Awai, and I think that's so interesting because Mega Man X was one of the soundtracks that was composed by a multitude of people, and actually, Mega Man X was one of the games that was credited by Alf Leela, and Alf Leela was the in-house Capcom band. In the early 90s, there were actually some concerts where Alf Leela performed live songs from things like Street Fighter, Mega Man, stuff like that. So that was the in-house band at Capcom. And I think it's interesting that Mega Man X2, it was strictly Yuki Awai that composed it. And she did a phenomenal job. So we're going to play a track called Wire Hedamaru Stage. Holy smokes, this is Wire Hedamaru Stage from Mega Man X2, composed by Yuki Awai. such an amazing track. I love this part. I love the melody. I love the chords. But it keeps changing. It never gets too comfortable in any section for too long. It's always transforming. And I think one of the coolest parts is the very last section, how the rhythms, it's like the meter is changing. And it's almost like going crazy. It's like the music itself is like actually going insane. I think it's just so intense. I think this is classic Capcom SNES music right here. I mean, the Mega Man series on the SNES is so exciting. It's so cool that they were able to launch a new generation of Mega Man music. They're able to carry the torch of what the composers did on the NES, and I think that's just really cool that they're able to do that on the SNES.
Yeah, this is a really great track.
I love the instrument choices. What's cool about this soundtrack is there's a lot of... It rocks, but it's almost like kind of synth rock. Like there's a lot of great synth leads. So it's not just... I think Mega Man X has a little bit more guitar-driven songs, and I think what's cool about this soundtrack is there's a little bit more synth-driven stuff. So we're going to move on to a very interesting pick. This is a PS2 game. I think it was a PS2 launch game. This is Onimusha Warlords. And the really interesting thing about this soundtrack, we really wanted to play a track from this game. It was composed by a gentleman by the name of Mamoru Samaragoch. Now, the interesting thing about this gentleman is, similar to Beethoven, as an adult, Mamoru began to lose his hearing.
Right.
And by the time he composed the music for this game, he was completely deaf.
Wow.
And that's something that is, it's such a great opportunity to get to play this music. So just keep that in mind when you listen to this, is that the gentleman who wrote this was completely deaf when he composed this. Let's take a listen to Rising Sun, First Movement from Onimusha Warlords. You're listening to Rising Sun, First Movement, composed by Mamoru Samaragoch for the PS2 game Onimusha Warlords. There's so much that's impressive about this. Not only we talked about this gentleman before, the fact that he was deaf when he composed this, I think that's just incredibly impressive on so many levels. But just to talk about the music, the very beginning of this piece is really effective, modern 20th century style orchestral music. Incredibly intense, dissonant at times, just incredibly exciting and rousing. But what I like is then all of a sudden it turns into this nice kind of German classical feel with that dun 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 dun.
Yeah,
and
that,
it really
that
changes there.
That sort of melodic idea right there, to me, feels very reminiscent of the Nutcracker Suite. But I'm just very impressed with, because you said that this man was deaf when he composed the music. There's such a subtlety and an intimacy in the way that you're revealed to these orchestral instruments. You know, it starts off very sparse with just a few soloist instruments. And then the introduction to everything, you have all the horns sort of coming, bum, 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 mm-hmm. And they're all sort of, you're hearing them like coming in individually throughout the orchestra. And then everything, you just get this sudden fullness. And it's so impressive that, like, to just imagine that effect without actually being able to hear it, it's just so impressive to me.
Incredibly impressive. We're going to move back to the SNES and play a track from the game The King of Dragons, composed by Yoko Shimomura. We're going to play a track called Battle on a Mountain Peak. You're listening to Yoko Shimomura's Battle on a Mountain Peak from The King of Dragons for the Super Nintendo. I love listening to this early 90s era Yoko Shimomura music for the Super Nintendo because it's very Street Fighter influenced. This came out after Street Fighter, so she was kind of still in that same musical world, and there's something I just love about this era of Yoko Shimomura. This track, again, has really great melody, has really great bass lines. I think one cool thing about the bass line to Street Fighter into this is it's not always going to be incredibly melodic. A lot of times it's just relying on octaves, but it's still very effective in the piece, and I think the context of that bass in a song like this, I wouldn't really change it. I think it's perfectly suited for this song.
Yeah, I agree. This is a very good song. I really agree with what you said about being influenced by Street Fighter musically. This is definitely in that era of Shimomura's writing where you can hear some of those chord progressions, definitely feel in that sort of 80s like pop mindset.
Absolutely. Well, we're very excited. It is now time to move on to our track of the week. This is another track from Gargoyle's Quest 2. We love this soundtrack so much, we just had to play 2. Again, this is composed by Yuki Iwai. We're going to play Assaulted Etcheria. Enjoy. I don't even know where to begin on this one. I am in love with this piece. This is Assaulted Etruria from Gargoyle's Quest 2 for the NES, composed by Yuki Iwai. There's so much I love. Every single section I absolutely love. This section here is so badass. I'm sorry. It's the only way I can describe it. Like, I was air drumming when this section comes up. It's just do-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. It's so cool. It comes out of nowhere. And I still think that this A section is probably my favorite part of the song. I think that second chord is so mysterious and is just so beautiful. There's just really great chord changes on this piece.
Yeah, I like the two pulse widths in which the melody is played. It's really cool, good instrument switching. But this part here with those sort of like tuplet rhythms, it's just really cool. Describing it as rocking is really true because it sort of has this almost like halftimey kind of feel.
I want to play like this live.
Triplet feels.
Oh my gosh, this is so cool. I just can't say enough about this piece.
Because right here you have sort of a dancey thing. Dun, dun, dun,
kind of a
dun,
tango
dun,
feel,
dun,
right?
Dun, dun. So when you get into that sort of like consistent drive, it's just very satisfying musically.
To say the least, yeah. It's kind of an understatement. But yeah, we love that track and that soundtrack, so you should check the whole thing out. We're going to move on to Breath of Fire 3 for the PlayStation. This was composed by Akiri Kaida. and she worked on Rockman and Forte. So you're going to hear a little bit of Rockman and Forte influence in this soundtrack and in this piece, as well as Yoshino Aoki. Let's take a listen to a track called Casually, also known as Overworld Theme 1. Really nice jazzy chord changes here. This is from Breath of Fire 3 for the PlayStation. This track is called Casually, also known as Overworld Theme 1, composed by Akira Kaida and Yoshino Aoki. Big fan of the soundscape they chose for this soundtrack.
I really like the drum part. The harmonies are also very pretty. Yeah, melodic instrument is also really nice.
Yeah, for me, when I was listening to this, I was pleasantly surprised. I think this, for me, is one of the more effective PlayStation 1 soundtracks as far as the instrument choices. Like, it doesn't feel as cheesy as a lot of music that I listen to for the PS1. I think this is incredibly well done, and it holds up pretty well. I think one of the hard things in that era, in that kind of middle ground era of game music, a lot of the soundtracks don't hold up so well nowadays when you think about something like Sega CD or PS1, even some N64 stuff. So I think it's cool that this holds up really well nowadays. We're going to move on to a track for the SNES. This is from a game called X-Men Mutant Apocalypse, and this is composed by Setsuo Yamamoto. We're going to play a really cool, rocking, quintessential Capcom-style piece called Theme of Cyclops. Cool, this is Theme of Cyclops from X-Men Mutant Apocalypse for the SNES, composed by Setsuo Yamamoto. Man, this track rocks. I would love to hear a really rocking remix of this. I should probably go searching on YouTube for it. I'm sure it exists. This is just such a well-done rock piece for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, there's sort of like a chorus effect on those guitars, and when they're in harmony, it's really nice because it's the same sample.
Right.
They sort of match each other's timbre and tone quality. It's really nice.
We're going to move on to a track from Street Fighter 2 Turbo. So we are going to play one track from Street Fighter 2 today. And like we said before, this was one of the soundtracks that was credited to Alf Leela, which was the in-house Capcom band. But we do note it was composed by Yoko Shimomura and Iso Abe, who were both in Alf Leela. We're going to play a track called Blanka Stage. And in the past, I think we've only played from the Genesis Special Championship Edition. I think in the past we may have also played one from the original arcade version. We're going to play a track from the Street Fighter 2 Turbo Edition for the Super Nintendo. So you're going to get a little bit of a sense of what the Super NES version sounds like. Let's take a listen to Blanka Stage.
Thank you.
listening to Blanka Stage from Street Fighter II Turbo for the SNES, composed by Yoko Shimomura and Iso Abe. I love this track. This is very nostalgic for me. When I was a kid, I would always be Blanka because I wasn't very good at learning all the combos, and with Blanka, all you had to do was just press A repeatedly and you could do that electric charge. So it was a good character for a little kid to play.
Yeah. He's also kind of a cool, quirky little character. He's this green shirtless monster looking guy that can like charge you up electrically and like fly through
and the stage
air.
is pretty racist. I mean, a lot of the stages in this game are just like really weird stereotypes that some of them I guess make sense, some of them don't. They're just very odd stereotypes in this game.
Yeah, fighting games really have a lot of issues with political correctness.
Absolutely. No, yeah, but this is a cool stage. I mean, it's definitely very ethnic, and this is probably one of the most ethnic songs in the soundtrack. It's very much a departure from a lot of the music in Street Fighter II. This would actually be one that I would be interested knowing if this might be an Iso Abe composition. Because I do know that Yoko did most of the music and did all the kind of really well-known themes, but this could be one that I wouldn't be surprised if it was Iso Abe, because it kind of sounds a slightly more departure from a lot of the music.
Yeah, that B section definitely feels very Street Fighter-ish as far as the chords and the whole construction of the melody and harmonics together feels a lot like what Yoko Shimomura did in some of the more well-known Street Fighter tracks. But you're right, this is a very ethnic sound for this A section, and that's something that's kind of cool about Street Fighter is every single theme, while keeping this sort of unified compositional sound, they are trying to underscore the
different locations.
Yeah, the different locales and the various cultures that you're fighting in, which
in
is kind of cool.
In a pretty racist manner, but effective for the time. This is early 90s. Yeah, one thing that I'm interested about is me and Will always kind of had this argument about which versions. Like, I actually do not like any of the SNES renditions of Street Fighter 2. I'm not a fan of how they sound. I much prefer the Genesis. And Will is the other way around. He much prefers the SNES. Yes. What do you guys think? What do you think is your favorite version of the Street Fighter 2 soundtrack? Feel free to leave us a comment.
I think there's a good the PC version of Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
That's
a great version.
That's probably the best.
That's a little bit closer to the arcade version.
So let us know if you guys have a personal favorite version of Street Fighter 2. It's kind of a fun little thing to ask different people. I'm sure everyone has their own nostalgic memories attached to a certain version. We're going to play a track from Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. And it's cool that we got to play a track from this series because in recent years, this was one of, in kind of a quirky way, this is one of the biggest series that Capcom has done. This was for the DS. This is a kind of like a trial room RPG adventure series. Very Japanese. Doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. But this was composed by Akimi Kimura, Masakazu Shigemori, and Atsushi Mori. We're going to play a track called Turnabout Sisters Theme 2001. This is a cool piece. Enjoy. Listening to Turnabout Sisters Theme 2001 from the DS game Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. It's a cool track. It's very laid back, very groovy. What I like about it is you think it's going to go back to the loop, but they add another couple extra measures, a little kind of tag at the very end, which I think is kind of effective. But yeah, no, this creates a very nice laid back emotion. I think in general, a lot of the music of the Ace Attorney series is very laid back and kind of jazzy, because I don't think it's a very action packed series of games. I think, like I said, it takes place in a courtroom. So I mean, how action packed can you really be in a courtroom, you know?
Oh, I think you'd be surprised.
Objection! Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have some exciting music, but kind of a quirky idea for a game. It's definitely something that a lot of people wouldn't inherently think of. Like, I got it. I got this perfect idea for a video game. Okay, you're an attorney, right? And it's like, it's not the most natural location for a video game. But, I mean, I haven't played this game, or the series, so I can't really say much about it.
Something I think is so nice is it's just really refreshing. Video games are always a nice place to go if you really just want catchy, melodic music. Mm-hmm. It's so gratifying that it's like, even after all these years and all these different things that are happening with pop music and independent music and everything, it's like you can go back to video games, especially like portable games now are sort of the last resort. You'll get consistently good, catchy music. Melodies, and it's just like, it's sad to me because I definitely consider myself a melodic composer and I really put a lot of stock into creating a good melody, and I think that's one of the reasons I'm so drawn to game music. But something about it when I was listening to this just really hit me that it's like, this really is the medium for melodies, like the power that a melody can create on another person, like whether the graphics or visuals were simplistic or whether they were complex, like the power of the melody to be able to instill an emotional connection is just, it's really cool.
It's interesting that you had that thought listening to this track. I mean, this wouldn't be the track that would necessarily inspire that for me, but it's cool that happened, because that's a really important thought and it's something I totally agree with. I think in this day and age, I think video game music is definitely a genre that melody is definitely king, and I think it always has been, and it continues to still be, and I think in other genres of music nowadays, that's becoming less and less the case, so that's one of the reasons why I love video game music as well. We're going to move on to the NES. This is Bionic Commando, composed by, once again, Junko Tamiya. We're going to play a really cool track called Albatross HQ Theme. Enjoy! Very interesting piece of music. This is Albatross HQ Theme, composed by Junko Tamiya from the game Bionic Commando. And this part here is so interesting. The delay, the rhythm of delay is that nice kind of polyrhythmic triplet over the 3-2 feel, which is so cool. And in general, I think that's one of the things that Junko Tamiya is really interested in her NES music, is doing a lot of rhythms that are different, in that when they play at the same time, it creates an interesting sort of tension, this push and pull that you can hear in a lot of her music. In this section here, there's some weird overtone. I don't know if it's on the bass channel or one of the squares, where there's this really weird triplet pulsating thing that happens. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's kind of signature of Junko's NES writing.
Yeah, there's some interesting dissonance that happens when that bass ostinato clashes with the really busy, moving melody and harmony.
Right.
It's almost like minimalist in how consistent that bass part is and how sort of parallel the harmonies are for the melody, but it's just it's engineered really well for the hardware, the NES, and I'm just really impressed by composers like Junko Tamiya, where they're able to get outside of themselves and not just do the exact same thing again and again, because she's always sort of pushing the boundaries of the technical powers of the NES and just the musical powers, really, for writing music on an 8-bit console.
But it's interesting because the fact that she's doing that, it makes it clear that this is Junko Tamiya. Like, it is signature. It does sound like her
but
style.
I think
which is kind of cool.
But I mean, like, it's not musically doing the same thing. It's not using that same exact palette of
absolutely
rhythms.
Not.
And even composers that I love, like Koji Kondo or something like that, they can sometimes get into that pattern. And for me, that's one of the things I love. Like, the chord progressions and the melodic style of Koji Kondo is something that I'm just in love with. But
yeah, I mean, if it works, keep doing it. Yeah.
What I really respect about Junko Tamiya is I feel like there's this sort of musical craft element to it of trying to just create something fresh and unique every time. And I really respect that.
She's got the goods for sure. We're going to move on to a game called Okami, and we've been looking forward to playing music of this game for a long time. This originally came out for, was it the PS2? And I think it also came out for the Wii, if I'm not mistaken. Really, really beautiful soundtrack. This particular track we're going to play was composed by Hiroshi Yamaguchi. This is Reset Thank You Version from Okami. Enjoy. Thanks so much for joining us, guys, on our Capcom episode. This is a really fun time for both of us.
And once again, I'm really grateful that we get to do this with you every week. Having that break was really good. I feel very rejuvenated myself personally, and this is a really fun show. I mean, not a lot of people get to do something every week as a hobby where they get to talk about their favorite thing, and I just feel very lucky to get to do it with my brother.
And to share with all you guys, yeah. And it's so great to kind of be forced to have to listen to all this phenomenal music. And at times it might feel kind of like work, where it's like, oh man, I have to prepare all these soundtracks. But it's such a joy to listen to this. And it really inspires us every single week, listening to all this phenomenal music. And Capcom really is at the hub of what is video game music, what is great classic catchy themes, really energetic rhythms, and I think this was just such a fun episode to showcase this great Capcom music. Next week, we have a really cool episode. We're going to be doing multiplayer music, so music from multiplayer levels in video games, so that should be a really good time. Once again, my name is Carl Brueggemann.
I'm Will Brueggemann. Thanks a lot for joining us, you guys. Once again, our album of Cosmic Proportions is available for purchase and just to listen to on Bandcamp. You can follow the link on our Blogger and also on YouTube. If you just want to take a listen to the entire album, you can find it on YouTube on our Supermercado Brothers YouTube channel. Feel free to like and subscribe on all of our social media outlets. And thanks again for joining us. Hope you have a great week.
Peace out.